This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Ole's still at the wheel and Nuno's been sacked. Welcome to Triple Captain.
No one saw Ole lasting longer than Nuno, I don't think. That was just... so Spursy, wasn't it? Didn't even have time to unpack his bags, poor Nuno.
Did you see that tweet about Ole playing 8D chess because he'd basically played like Conte in order to get his rival sacked so that Conte would take over? I can't even remember what it said. It was like genius stuff.
He's playing the long game.
Yeah, he basically set up the team to defend and counter, and it worked against Spurs. Didn't work as well last night against Atalanta, of course. But they're just relying on Cristiano Ronaldo at the moment to rescue them from every single situation. The guy is unreal.
It's the classic Ole. This is what it was like last season. He was like, if I play Fernandes, we'll do well. And now it's, if I play Ronaldo, we'll do well. Yeah. That's basically what it is.
I mean, yeah, the fact that he got Nuno sacked is just, it was a mad game week again, wasn't it, really? We're FPL Triple Captain. We're at FPL Triple Cap on socials. I'm Luke Jurdy, your host, and I'm joined as ever by my co-host Rich Wolfenden. We've got to go fairly quickly this week, Rich, because producer Ben, who's with us as well as always, has got to shoot off. But should we just dive straight in and go through our teams really quickly, and then go on to who to pick, who to drop, and who to captain?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm quite happy to talk about the game week that's just gone. Apart from the Everton result, we'll avoid that. Oh my God, it was disgusting. I'm not going to talk about it. Anyway, my team, Gilmore's Dirty Hands, played very well in FPL in game week 10. 75 points.
What a week. What a week.
Unbelievable. I did not see that coming, like, at all. I used my one transfer. It was a relatively safe transfer. It was Alonso out, Chilwell in. And, you know, Chilwell's been one of the star players over the last few weeks. So it was just a sensible transfer. It wasn't a punt or anything like that. Bit more... template, but you know, the template does well, so you know, that's why you get them players in every now and then. But yeah, Ramsdale had a worldie, 10 points for him. Chilwell, solid performance from Chelsea again, clean sheet from him. Livramento with a big six, he gets another clean sheet. He's had four clean sheets this season now as well. Livramento, don't think anybody had even heard of him at the beginning of August. Havertz got me six. Bowen continues to be the man. I can't believe, like, Bowen. How many weeks is that he's returned now?
Let's not spend too much time on West Ham Villa, mate.
He's returned five out of the last six game weeks.
I have to say, Rich, what a pick from you. I mean, the ultimate differential, really, because nobody... He's one of those players where you're probably not going to buy him in because he just hasn't got that, like... that consistency or that form of other player. He's just not an attractive pick, is he, Bowen? Because he's not exactly like massive on the stats, although he is outstatting Benrahma now, by the way, in the last five game weeks.
Oh, is he?
But he's just never really up there. But the fact that you've got him in and you've just stuck with him, I mean, brilliant pick that. Brilliant. Yeah. But you need a player like that in your team. Just one. To do well in order to properly climb those rankings. That's exactly what you're doing, isn't it, with Bowen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've not had Rafinha all season, and I thought that would hurt, but he's not maybe performed as highly as people would have expected him to. He delivered this week. But yeah, I'm pretty happy. Because you look at that West Ham front line at the start of the season, I was like, oh, Benrahma didn't play particularly well when he did play last season. Fornals isn't that prolific. But I think Bowen had more goals than... anyone else apart from Suchek and Antonio, I think it was, last season. So I thought, you know what, West Ham are going to do well again this season, so Bowen. So yeah, 11 points from old Jared there. Captain Salah, he got me 10 points, only an assist under his belt. Again, the most captained player ever for a game week or whatever it was. Salah.
4.6 million captained him.
That's more than half the players in the game, right? Like, it's nuts. So yeah, he got me 10 points. Jimenez got his goal and he got three bonus, so 9 points from him. And old Ronnie getting me 12 points as well up front. So, you know, you have the Kings of the Week, which is the crappest name for a lineup ever. I got three of them, Ronaldo, Bowen and Ramsdale. Annoyingly, I had Ben White on my bench with six and Amati came on for zero instead of Mbeumo, who I bought in the week before. who didn't play. So yeah, just 75 overall and up to 133K overall, the highest they've been all season. So another green arrow up about a quarter of a million places. So absolutely buzzing.
Brilliant. What was your game week rank, Rich?
61K.
Wow. That's an incredible game week rank. Incredible absolutely game buzzing. Week rank. Brilliant.
Like over the moon with it. So the slow and steady still rise.
You've still got wild card in your back pocket as well, haven't you?
Still a wild card. I think that may come into effect after the international break. I'll see what happens. But at the moment, I'm happy with my team. And, yeah. You know, I'll tell you very shortly that I'm not really planning on any major transfers. But yeah, after game week 3, I was 2 millionth in the world. So, you know, 7 game weeks later, I'm up to there. So, you know. It's the long game, so anyone can do it. But yeah, how about you? How did you get on? Yeah, are you getting on in the Sandwich Island League?
The Christmas Island.
Sorry, Christmas Island League. That's it, yeah.
I think I'm up to about 113. I mean, I won't do it anymore next season because I've set my nationality to Iranian. So I'll join the Iran League next year. But 129th in Christmas Island. I mean, it was a game week, wasn't it, really, where you were rewarded for sticking with those players that hadn't performed that well for a few weeks. Players like Ronaldo, who came up trumps. And if you stick with someone like Ronaldo, eventually it's Ronaldo. He's going to get back on form. And you said it yourself, Rich, didn't you? Like, he's overdue. He's not scored in 4 games. I really fancy him against Spurs. I fancied us to beat Spurs. I fancied us to bounce back. And we did. I mean, there was... He did change the system, which I thought I was quite surprised that he changed the system.
4-4-2,
well, it was a 3-5-2. Well, 3-4-1-2 essentially, but with Shaw and Wan-Bissaka as wingbacks. But the two up top of Cavani and Ronaldo, I think, was a brilliant move. But we played an ideal team in Spurs, and what was worrying was last night against Atalanta, Varane got injured again. Yeah, and he immediately went back to a back 4 instead of sticking with a back 5.
Who's the next defender in line? So Lindelof, Maguire.
Well, Lindelof's injured as well. Oh, and there's then Varane's now injured, so it's Maguire and Bailly. Bailly had a fantastic game last night. He basically kept us in it, but we looked so shaky again. I mean, even with Varane in the back 5, we still conceded the first goal. So yeah. I don't think it's going to be the turnaround that United fans, you know, the kind of romantics among us hope for. I think Spurs were the perfect opponent.
Do you reckon he might take a punt and play like a young centre-back against Man City, because he's going to have to try and play 3 at the back again, and he really
I think it's possible that he'll play Shaw, Maguire and Bailly as the 3 centre-backs, and then Telles and Wan-Bissaka as the wing-backs.
Oh, okay.
If he sticks with a back 4 and then loses, then he's I think he'll lose his job. So I think he will stick with that back 5. I hope so anyway, with Cavani and Ronaldo up top, and just see if we can keep City out and play on the counter. I mean, that's what we've got to hope for. Anyway, I'll shout a couple from United, actually, when we do the who to pick shortly. But yeah, I compared myself to... there was a... official FPL tweet saying which Premier League player would you compare your season to so far, and I compared mine to Tony Rudiger, because I think I've been solid, I've made solid steady progress with occasional bursts up the ranks.
Nice. Good.
Which I thought you'd like that, Rich.
Very accurate.
So yeah, same again, 58 points. I've not been outside the top million since game week 1. I looked at my game week history. I started at 850k and I've just worked my way up since then. So it's been quite nice. I think I've had like five or six green arrows in a row. So I'm up to 136k now.
Very nice.
Just we keep switching places, don't we? I'm 1 point behind you, Rich. So there's about 3,000 places in a point, isn't there? So one point behind. I got 58. I have played my wild card, of course. Standout performance was Aaron Ramsdale with 10. I mean, absolutely brilliant. And Rafinha finally rewarding my patience with a nine-pointer. But I'll go through the team in more detail, as I always do on the extra pod. But I've got Matt Loughton sat on my bench with 14 points.
Oh, God. No, he's one of the kings of the week.
I shouted, as well. You know, I said on my wild card, I was like, I quite like Loughton. I like Burnley's fixtures. His numbers aren't bad. He's 4.4 million. In the last two game weeks, he's got an assist. He's got two assists and a goal without even keeping a clean sheet. So
that's his first goal in the Premier League ever, though, isn't it?
No, he scored last season when I owned
when
him.
He brought him in. It was an incredible shout.
I'm just thinking he didn't score for Villa. I'm pretty sure he never scored for Villa.
He's not proficient anyway.
It was a nice header.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was a great goal. It was a great goal. But anyway, yeah, so 58 points up to 136k. Ben, do you want to talk about your team or not?
Not really. I mean, I'm Mason Greenwood. I overperformed at the beginning of the season and now absolutely bang average. You know what? I read a tweet the other day that said it's impossible to have your work goals, relationship goals and health goals in balance. And one of them always has to suffer. I'm going to add in a fourth one, my FPL goals, because work's going really well recently. Relationship's going really well. My health is pretty good. I found out last week I'm intolerant to cow's milk. Did a food intolerance test. 33 Ooh. Years I've been drinking cow's milk. Already feel better. But my FPL goals, that's been the part of my life that's suffered. I've had 3 weeks of underperforming, under the average. This week, at least, I'm not below the average. So I've got 45 points. My team value is shot to shit. I'm not going to lie. Like, 100.6 team value. And I've got to play the wild card. And my eye's been off the ball and I've been watching all the players that I own decrease in value, all the players that I want increase in value. And this wild card for me over the international breaks, I need a bit of time to think about it, because it really is a start again for me, because I'm 800k overall.
But you've got
still top million. That's all right. Yeah. I think you can make top 500k by Christmas. And if you get that, you'll be fine. Still keep that positive.
But you've still got your adorable, you've just got your new adorable assistant manager. Who should be able to help you out in some of these key decisions.
Dolly the Dachshund, she's joined the family. That's what I mean, my life at the moment is great and I'm chuffed, but it's literally FPL especially with Villa playing badly, I turned it off. I didn't realise my brother was there. I was like, I've turned this off, mate. And he texted me like, I can't turn it off because I'm at Villa.
No, the poor fella. Yeah, I turned Everton off and stuck on University Challenge. I was like, I'm going to watch this.
I mean, there's not much worse, is there, than your FPL going badly and the team you support playing badly. Like, normally there's a bit of balance. So, you know, if United have won and I have a bad FPL week, I really don't mind as much. But if it's both, it's tough. I think that's such a great point, though, Ben. If the rest of your life's going great, who cares about FPL? Come on. It's just a bit of fun. But anyway, I know. Right. So let me kick us off and shout a few differential picks potentially for wild card. First one I'm going to shout is Cornet at Burnley.
Yes, Maxi.
Or Corn. Is it Cornet? Do we pronounce it like that? I presume it's Cornet rather than Cornet.
Yeah.
Burnley looked scintillating against Brentford. They looked so good going forward. Mm. This is what Sean Dyche does. This is why I brought Loughton in. He always turns it around. And against the lesser teams, and Burnley go into really good fixtures now, and they've got an attacker now who is clinical. That they've needed that for a long time. He's got 4 in 5 goals. He's a great finisher. He's 6 million. I think it's well worth considering him. His stats aren't amazing, but that's because he's clinical. So there's a chance that he's overperforming. But get him while he's hot, I think.
0.8% owned as well. Like, so low ownership.
A great shout, because it's unlikely that you or I, or people that aren't on wildcard, it's unlikely we're going to use a free transfer to get someone like him in when our teams are well set up. But if you're on wildcard, I think Cornet is well worth considering. And my other one is Trossard from Brighton. Ooh.
He was all over the place. Yeah.
He was brilliant against Liverpool.
He could have had three. Yeah.
Yep. Could have had three. Playing false nine. He got a goal chalked off for VAR, didn't he? And Brighton are one of the best teams in the league this season. You can't argue with that. Like, they're performing really well. Their defence is solid. I know they lost 4-1 to City, but brilliant performance against Liverpool. And they're about to go into a run of good fixtures. So he'd be the other one that I'd shout. Two risky picks. Because, you know, you'd be going against certain players that players like Mbeumo, players like Rafinha, players like Smith Rowe, you'd have to go for, I'd maybe go one of Trossard or Kone rather than both. But they're two of my little differential picks to kick us off.
Yeah, no, great shout. Like Trossard, I think I brought him in towards the end of last season and he scored two against Manchester United or something like that. And I brought him in and I was like, I can't remember who it was against. I swear it was Man United or maybe Liverpool.
Well, I think Brighton had a double game week, didn't they? And you brought him in and captained him. And it
yeah,
was...
that was it, yeah. And I couldn't have asked for anything better from him. Like, I mean, it didn't do anything to my season because all I did was sit in 500,000K for 38 game weeks. So it made no difference whatsoever. But yeah, no, he's a cracking little player and Brighton just seemed to turn it on. And Mwepu, by the way, where on earth did that finish come from? Like the chipped dink from the edge of the penalty area. Yeah. Stunning goal.
Can I ask you while we're on Brighton about Bissouma? Because he only scored 1 point, but he was everywhere in that game. Like his name just kept coming up again and again and again. What do you think? Is that
It's not an attacking player. He's just not an attacking player. It's like at Villa, how you've got Douglas Luiz. It's kind of the equivalent of having Douglas Luiz. Yeah, like he's more defensive minded, but he has.
Is he 4.5? Shot every now and
then. Yeah, 4.5.
Yeah, I mean maybe he's a fifth midfielder, but when you got Brownhill at 4.4, if you're going to use a fifth midfielder on your bench, you might as well just go for him.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think Bissouma's a brilliant player, and I'd be surprised if he's not rumoured to be going to Newcastle or something in January, because he's one of Brighton's standout players. But Brighton in general are pretty good. I've seen Lamptey played again at the weekend as well and I'd completely forgotten about him. He was the flavour of the month at the beginning of last season, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good shout. He's a great shout, Lamptey, I think, if he gets back in the team as well. Really, really good good performance from them.
Definitely.
Anyone you want to shout, Rich?
Well, I was just like what I was saying before. Like, I'm happy with my team at the moment and there's no one who's like screaming out to be picked.
About Reece James.
Reece James is probably top of the list, if there was a shortlist. I've already got Chilwell. I've already got Havertz. I mean, we just mentioned Burnley improving, but I still don't think they're going to be strong enough to get one over Chelsea. And they'll probably keep a clean sheet once more. And Reece James, his XG alone is 0.83 on average per game at the moment. Reece James,
wow.
A right back, 0.83. So if I didn't have Chilwell, I'd probably be looking to get Reece James in. But I'm quite happy with my one Chelsea defender and Havertz in midfield. I mean, I'm not that happy with Havertz. This is the thing with Chelsea, they're such a team unit. They don't have any obvious player who's going to deliver week in, week out.
Where it went wrong for me, Chelsea, it was when Chelsea were looking great and I bought in Alonso. Then literally that week he didn't start. And then I bought in Rudiger and then he was injured. And honestly, I just kind of feel like I can totally see Alonso starting again soon. Like, is he going to start against Burnley? Like, I suppose it depends on Champions League and stuff as well. But
yeah, he started yesterday.
He started in the Champions League, yeah.
So did
Azpilicueta. I mean, I feel for Azpilicueta owners as well because I think they brought him in thinking that he was a nailed pick and suddenly he's not. He's not even in the thought. Yeah. So it looks like Chilwell and James will start against Burnley. And this is kind of the dilemma for me, really. I'm the same as you, Rich. I said to myself after Wildcard, I was like, just use your transfers to get in the attackers with good fixtures. Don't worry, your defenders can just set and forget. You've got Chilwell, Cancelo and Alexander-Arnold with Livramento and Lotan on the bench. Although Livramento looks like he should be played every week at the moment. But now getting Reece James in is surely, it's like making a transfer for an attacker, isn't it, really?
Basically,
It's whether you decide to go for Chilwell and James. I mean, although people have got either one or the other at the moment and right now, Reece James owners are laughing because he scored two goals. But there's no reason that Chilwell can't do that against Burnley and Reece James have a game where he perhaps just gets a clean sheet or an assist or something like that. But I think having the double up, it's maybe a slight risk. But at the moment, it's like you've got to get on him, haven't you? And I mean, apparently they've been saying in the in interviews and that Tuchel treats his defender. He wants more goals from defenders and he wants his attackers to defend.
Got.
I mean,
that's what they've got.
They've had 12 goals from defenders.
Yeah, and 4 from attackers. I saw a match of the day. Like, bonkers. I mean,
yeah.
It's actually nuts. It scares me having too many Chelsea players. It's like if I had three Man City players as well, I'd be like, oh my God, what's the line?
Well, I'm thinking, do you play the fixtures? Do we play the fixtures? Get rid of Cancelo for the next few and get Reece James in. And then you can always bring Cancelo back. But it seems silly to get rid of, to switch, flip-flop on defenders, doesn't it? I think really I'd prefer to keep my solid three. Mm. And it's whether I decide to go four at the back or not.
It's when you're hearing stats like that, though, like the amount of goals from defenders, you think, I mean, there's so much reward.
It's like getting an attacker in.
It basically is a higher delivering attacker than Lukaku or Kane. Actually, that's a good point. We should probably talk about Tottenham players.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, let's nice little segue onto them. Yeah, Son and Kane. So we're obviously not thinking about any other Tottenham players, are we, now Conte's taken over? But about Son and Kane?
Yeah, need a week or two to be convinced by the defensive options, I think. But Harry Kane just hasn't been at it all season. And to be fair, none of the attacking premiums have been that great. Ronaldo's been the standout one, but he's still probably not delivering good value at the moment. He's in great form at the moment, though. He got two last night, one at the weekend. And did he get two in the week before in the Champions League, or did he just get one? I'm trying to remember. He scored either way. Just the one, yeah. So he's in great form. I'm going to leave him in again for the game against Manchester City. You know,
me too.
It could be... Who knows what happens in the derbies? They say form goes out the window. And, you know, that could well be the case this weekend. But yeah, for me, Son is the exciting one. He's... you know, the one who wants to stay at Tottenham, which is probably part of the mindset of Kane not performing that well. And it just fits Tottenham's style of play so well, just to play on that counter-attacking style of football. He's just so fast. He can run through a whole team if he wants to. It's just, I don't know how this game week I'd wriggle around my substitutes to get him in. Taking a -4... it just makes me a little bit uncomfortable this game week. So maybe the week after. But if you roll the dice on Son this week, it could deliver so well. But what, Conte, it's Wednesday today. This is probably Conte's first training session. So he's only going to have him for three days before their match. It could be a little bit too early for Tottenham. But then again, they are playing Everton, who are absolutely dreadful. So, you know, it could be one for you to roll the dice on. And Tottenham tend to do quite well against Everton as well. Everton haven't got a good record against Spurs. So yeah, that could well be an option for you if you wanted to take a punt on a more premium option.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing you have in Ronaldo. It's an easy move to Kane or Lukaku when he's fit again. And I think I kind of want that structure back a little bit, because I do think the premium forwards will firmly come back into our thinking, particularly when United's fixtures turn nice. Particularly if Solskjaer's not the manager anymore, suddenly we're going to be wanting that new manager bounce from players like Bruno Fernandes will probably come into our thinking again. His chance creation is off the charts, by the way. I know his goal scoring form and FPL points haven't been great, but I fully expect him to come back into our thinking at some point. Rashford looks great as well since coming back from injury. Completely steer clear of United's defence, of course, but the attack, I think, is still worth investing in, particularly when the fixtures turn. But yeah, Son, I brought Son in on my wild card, and I'm really glad that I've got him now that Nuno's been sacked and Conte's come in, because I think everyone's going to be scrambling for Son and Kane this week. And because I've already got him, I've got two free transfers. So there's kind of like a few luxury moves I could do. I think if I've looked at my team, and if I make two transfers this week to get Reece James, I think I'm pretty sure I'm going to bring in Ivan Toney, by the way, this week. And I think I'm going to drop, I think I'm going to drop Antonio.
I'm dropping Antonio.
I think, just like you said, Rich, a few weeks back, we've got to play the fixtures. And I know it would be different if Antonio was still tearing it up every week and scoring 2-3 goals and having, you know, amazing amounts of shots and stuff. But he has dropped off. And West Ham's fixtures are really tricky. I think they've got Liverpool, City and Chelsea, 3 out of the next 5. I think now is the time to jump off. And if you're playing the fixtures like we're going to, Brentford are top of the fixture ticker and they play Norwich next. And you look at Leeds. Leeds have been poor all season, but Rafinha scored, Rodrigo scored against Norwich. If anybody's going to score, and Brentford will score against Norwich, you know, most likely, it's going to be Tony and Mbeumo, isn't it? So I've got Mbeumo already. I think it's going to be Tony. If I go for Reece James, it means I price myself out of Harry Kane. I could have the double up of Son Kane if I only do the one free transfer this week and then save two for the international break. So I am considering that double up because I think it could be a real differential having them both. Because I think most people are going to have one if Conte turns it around, which I think he will initially. And yeah. Spurs' fixtures are fantastic. They're amongst the best in the league. So he couldn't be taken over at a better time, could he? So
no.
I'm thinking of the double up. And then I can move Kane to Ronaldo to Lukaku really, really easily. I think, but it will probably mean that I miss out on Reece James. It will probably mean that I still miss out on Phil Foden, who obviously we're not as interested in now that he blanked against Palace, but I think he's still a fantastic option, isn't he? So yeah. I will have FOMO on Foden.
I think that Kane Son double up has been proven so many years down the line. If you're taking a punt on maybe Fornals and Antonio or something like that, two decent players who get decent returns who could, get a high ceiling, who have a high ceiling one weekend. It's such much more of a gamble than Son and Kane, who have proven to do it. And Conte, who, took over Inter when they were fourth in Serie A and won the league with them. Like, he has an instant impact. He's almost like the perfect bouncing manager. That's not the way I wanted to put that. But you know what? It's like,
yeah,
exactly. And he knows how to get goals out of Lukaku. I absolutely see where you're coming from with that. My transfers this game week are going to be zero. But I am going to drop Antonio to the bench. I don't really fancy a double West Ham at Anfield. It's asking quite a lot. So I think I'll probably just leave Bowen in because I think he's in probably the best form he's going to be in all season at the moment. And you never know, West Ham on the counter, Bowen running in behind, Matip or whatever, he could be the one. So I think I'm just going to bring Ben White off my bench, who I rude leaving on that at the game we've just gone. So Watford at home, Arsenal are in great form. Hopefully that's just a solid 6 points. Doesn't tend to have much goal threat, but I'd much rather get a potential six from a clean sheet from White than an almost definite two from Antonio. But then again, Liverpool threw away that lead against Brighton, so madder things have happened. I'm just going to roll the transfer this week, I think. What about you, Ben?
Oh, God, who knows? Who's going to keep a clean sheet? Just need one more week to get through before I do my wild card. The player I really like is Conor Gallagher. He's had a few kind of 2-2, 3-2-2, but my God, a goal and an assist against City, a well-deserved three bonus points. He was on fire. Like, I know we've mentioned his name before, but his points haven't really returned until the 13 points he got at the weekend. I'd love to get him in. And then, I'm actually looking at another Southampton defender thinking, I'm so depressed with Villa that we're not going to score against him, I don't think, at the moment, on current form. But...
Well, I think if you're playing your wild card next week, it's always a good idea to do a 1 week punt. So I'd pick a player who's, less than 5% owned, chuck them in for one game week, and then you can take them straight back out again, can't you? So I'd have a look at those fixtures. I mean, Brentford play Norwich, don't they? That's the one I'd target. I mean, who's playing Newcastle? Newcastle I'd target. Villa I'd target.
Newcastle are away to
Newcastle
Brighton.
At home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe Trossard as a 1 week punt.
No pace on her.
But yeah, I've got two free transfers this week and I think I'm 90% sure I'm going to be bringing in Ivan Toney for Antonio and rolling the other one so that I've got two over the international break. I really want Reece James Chilwell double up, but I don't think I'm going to do it because it will require two moves. And I want two moves over the international break. So hopefully Reece James stays quiet for one more week. But it doesn't overly matter if he doesn't necessarily because we've still got green arrows this week without him, didn't we? So
exactly.
It's not like we should be ripping up our teams. And I'd be very surprised if I change my captain from Salah. I think it's not that time yet to come off him, is it?
No, it's absolutely not. No. He is... God, he only got an assist. God, he's an awful player, isn't he?
Awful.
you've got to leave it on Salah, I think. That's what I'm going to be doing anyway.
Yeah, I think especially as, we're consolidating our positions at the moment and just continuing that steady progress, I don't think we need to think too much outside the box just yet. Perhaps if we're pushing towards top 10k, then maybe we'd think about that. But yeah, I think keep it on Salah for now. But yeah, I think that's all we've got time for, isn't it?
Definitely.
I'll be back with an extra episode, probably recording that tomorrow. And Yeah, that's about us, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Follow us on Twitter at FPL Triple Cap. Join the Discord. It is growing and growing and growing, and it is great fun. And if you just need some last-minute panic chat, Discord is the place for it. But yeah, game week 11 and then an international break again. So let's enjoy it.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.